many times we have closed service. So it's not often. Amen. But if you don't know and you show up, that's a problem. So we need your accurate information, your number, and your email and all of that stuff so that we can make sure to let you know. And I'll just announce now that Sister Dianara has graciously taken over the greeting card ministry, and she's doing a great job. Amen. Credit where credit is due. However, she does not have everybody's birthdays and anniversaries and all that stuff. So here in the next couple of weeks, we'll be showing a QR code on the screen. And we may just pause for 5 minutes so that you can fill out your information. We just need the basic stuff so that we can make sure that there's a greeting card ready for you when there's a birthday or something. Amen. Praise the Lord. But church app. The church app is the best place to get the services and the messages from the previous weeks. You can do that on the website, but the church app lets you actually speed up the time and lets you listen to things on, 1.25 speed. I talk slowly, so you can get there and you can speed me up. Praise the Lord. I want to go back to the verses that we have mentioned every time I've taught this series, back in John chapter 4, because these words have been really that North Star, that compass that have guided us in this entire series. So if you wouldn't mind standing for just two verses of reading. Amen. We like to stand for the reading of God's Word, at least here in the beginning, out of respect for the Word of the Lord. So if you're able to stand, please stand with us and turn to John chapter 4, verse 41 and 42. Amen. And it starts like this. And many more believed because of His own Word. It's talking about Jesus. And it's talking about the Samaritan people in the towns that were surrounding. Many more believed because of His own word. And verse 42 says, And they said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We have heard Him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And that's the title of this series. If we can pray, amen, and then we'll get right into this. Lord Jesus, we thank You, God, for Your Word. Thank You, Jesus, for opening up our understanding. Thank You, Lord, for revealing You to ourselves, Lord God. We are so appreciative to know You, Lord God. So appreciative to be able to worship the one true and living God. Lord, we're so thankful for You, Lord God. We're so thankful that we can worship You, Lord Jesus, and know You and have a relationship with You, God. Lord, even clear, Lord, help us to look clearly upon You, Lord Jesus, to hear You clearly for ourselves, God. We thank You for it and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Amen. It was their faith moved from that secondhand testimony of the woman at the well. And the woman at the well was a sort of a witness that was maybe not the best witness to come to them and say, I know Him. I've seen Him. He told me all things about my life. And I think a lot of the folks in the vicinity, the town, showed up because they were really curious about probably the attitude of this woman was worshipful. And so many probably just showed up because of curiosity. Many showed up because maybe their families were all going out. And everybody likes to follow the crowd. And so they stirred up that whole region and came out to see this one because of what this woman at the well, the woman of Sychar, had told them. But it was just a second-hand testimony. It wasn't a primary, or a first-hand revelation. So they went from hearing about Jesus, and so many in our society hear about Jesus, and they have this idea of Jesus in their head, and they think that they know who Jesus is, but they couldn't be further from the truth. So hearing about Jesus is not enough. You've got to hear Jesus for yourself. Amen. I want when my children get a relationship with God and get closer, and I'm so thankful that they are, but I want them to know Him for themselves. I don't want them to just hear Him because of what I have said. I don't want them to inherit their belief system from me. I want them to have their own relationship with Jesus and a conviction of God. How many grew up in the church? Now, are you here because your parents had a relationship with God? Well, that had something to do with it. It's a good place to begin. But I promise you, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ for yourself. It's not enough that my grandfather was a preacher. It's not enough that my dad sang in the choir or my mom played the piano. And all those things are true. And I appreciate their dedication and relationship with God. But it wasn't because I grew up sitting on a pew that I know Jesus and that I have followed Him and have a relationship with Him. It wasn't my proximity to the church. It wasn't because of traditions of men. But it was because I dug deeply into the Word of God myself, and I heard a preacher talking about who Jesus is, just like tonight. And I said, man, I've got to know this Jesus Christ for myself. Amen. Paul explains that there's something so interesting about revelation. And people often will say, well, people often will say something like, I can never with my mind understand who Jesus is, and I can never, it's a mystery. It's unsearchable, it's unreachable. And I do feel sorry to a certain extent for them, because they're actually serving a God who cannot reveal Himself to them. And we serve a God who can reveal Himself to us. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, explains this pattern in three different places, but we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. And Pastor actually spoke something about these verses. I think you went from the ones in Ephesians, but it talks about the mystery. Now listen closely, because there's this word mystery here. And this word mystery often will baffle people, and they'll think, well, just everything about God is a mystery. Well, my relationship and what God wants me to do, that's all a mystery too. And there are some things that are a mystery in God. Do we know all about God and everything there is to know about God? No. But we do know His identity. We do know who He is. Amen. And so it says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. But look at this. But now. Somebody say now. But now is made manifest to His saints. So this was a mystery in the ages past. But now it is made manifest to His saints. Now, if you have the name of Jesus on your life, and you've been filled with His Spirit, you are a holy one, a saint. You've been bought with a price. You're part of the church of the living God. And so it is given for you to know and have that revelation and have that mystery revealed to you. Amen. And then look, verse 27, to whom God would make known that is what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is, that was a mystery, but look at what it is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. There is a purpose to preaching, and that purpose is to open up the Word of God and to reveal to you the glory of the Lord, and so you can understand and follow Him. Amen. Notice what Paul is and is not saying. He is not saying that the mystery is still hidden. The mystery is not still inaccessible. But this is what he is saying. He's saying that the mystery has been made manifest. That means it's been put on display. It's clear before our eyes. And we know it. Elsewhere, Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in Ephesians 3. And we're not going to go there for the sake of time. But Paul says that the mystery is revealed by the Spirit, made known unto the saints, and manifested through preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you can know who Jesus is. So you can understand by revelation and through the Spirit who Jesus is. You can know God for yourself. You can see it for yourself. 1 Timothy 3:16, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but God was manifest in the flesh. And John chapter 1 says that the Word, which is God, was manifest. Amen. And now, through preaching and through revelation by the Spirit, Jesus Christ is manifested unto us today. He is made plain. We can hear Him for ourselves. We can know that it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. I am going to make it because I've got Jesus. I'm in Him and He's in me. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what we've been studying here, Mark's gospel. Mark has been showing us that through preaching, we can understand who He is. And in part one of this series, we saw that Christ is revealed as Lord, and He is the God that Isaiah prophesied and the one who forgives sins. And in part two, we talked about how we saw Him exercise His divine authority over different things that would contradict us, over storms, over strong men, over demons, over disease, over death. Amen. All by the authority that He had Himself. And in part three, we watched Him restore what was broken and fill what was empty. Amen. And in part four, the veil was pulled back. And He was up on that Mount of Transfiguration. And His glory shone openly on that mountain. Amen. And if you haven't listened to all those parts, go back and listen to them on the app. But each chapter in the book of Mark has taken what once was hidden in the Old Testament and brought it into our visibility. And now in Mark chapters 11 and 12, that revelation reaches a turning point. Because the Christ who was revealed, the Christ who overcame, the Christ who restored, the Christ who stood in glory, now steps forward as the King who reigns over all. And this fifth part brings us to the truth of who He is. And the mystery is no longer something that we just maybe think that we grasp. Something that's whispered. The revelation is no longer subtle. It's no longer just a hint or a shadow. But the Christ who has been revealed now reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. So tonight my hope is that only one person would do exactly what those Samaritans did. They heard Him for themselves. They listened. They saw Him for themselves. And from the evidence of the Scripture, they came away with one true revelation. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus is God. He's God all by Himself. Amen. He's not a person in the Godhead. He's not one third of anything. But He's the fullness of the Godhead in body. Amen. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. There's only one person in the Godhead. Amen. And He's the only visible expression of the invisible God. In other words, Jesus is the only God you will ever see. He's the only God you should ever worship. He's the only King that is worth. He's worthy. Amen. He's the only Lord that I will serve. Amen. And that I will worship. Amen. And those Samaritans, their faith changed locations. And it moved from just on the fringes or on the outside. Amen. Which so many come in and they just stay on the outside fringes of the revelation of Jesus. Amen. They just stay on. Well, Jesus, you gave me some. You provided for me. Well, that's great. But you need to know Him and worship Him. Well, Jesus, I felt so good when I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But you got to get close to Him. You got to walk with Him tomorrow. Amen. Well, Jesus healed my sick child. Well, that's amazing. That's good. But you got to worship Him. You got to serve Him. Amen. Because whether you're sick or whether you're healed, He's still worthy of your praise. He's still worthy of being faithful to. Amen. And we need that kind of knowing in every single part of our lives. I need that. Our church body cannot survive just because the pastor knows Jesus. Just because I know Jesus. Yeah, they call me a worship leader. But I'm up here worshiping Jesus with all my heart. But just me worshiping Jesus is not enough to keep the church doors open. You've got to worship Jesus for yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Families don't stay together on borrowed conviction. And if you look at what Jesus said about having to make a decision of who you're going to stick with, He said it, and it's a hard saying. He said that if you choose your family, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, if they're going the other direction and you choose to go with them instead of serving me, you're not worthy of me. He said it plain. Amen. I'm so thankful for the testimony of those who have served God when their family was not serving God. And I'm so thankful for the testimonies that I've heard and seen and witnessed over the years where those faithful servants of God, those faithful saints of God, finally get a breakthrough in their families. Amen. I like to tell the testimony of Myron Lohman. Amen. This is Sister Greeley's father, who for many years rejected the truth. For many years didn't want to talk about it. Didn't want to. But Sister Greeley kept praying for him. Yeah. And then one revival Wednesday night, he got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And was baptized in Jesus' name as the Spirit gives the utterance. Yeah. It might be enticing to think, well, my family's not serving God. I'm just going to go ahead and do what they're doing. It might feel enticing for a little while, but that's the wrong decision. Amen. Families can't be sustained on borrowed conviction. Marriages cannot flourish on some touch from God that you felt a long time ago. You've got to feel God in your marriage every day. Amen. We got to know Him for ourselves. Amen. We're not just staying on the fringes, not just doctrinally, not just historically. Amen. But in reality. And that's what the Samaritans discovered. And that's what the Gospel of Mark is showing us. Amen. That this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so we're going to keep walking through the book of Mark. We're going to go into chapter 11 and chapter 12. But let these revelations do the same thing for us that Jesus did for the Samaritans. Move our faith from the fringes into our heart. Amen. Mark writes really what he's received from Peter. Peter was preaching Jesus, no doubt. And he had a clear revelation that the King has come. The kingdom is here. And God Himself has stepped into human flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. So Mark chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Mark 11, verse 9. It describes the triumphal entry. And look at this. People are worshiping Jesus. People are worshiping Jesus. Now that is significant in and of itself. Because Jesus did not stop them. He didn't tell the disciples to go and stop the crowd. And look exactly at what they said in Mark chapter 11, 9. It says, "And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now this word Hosanna, it's a Hebrew word that means Lord, please save. And it's like a continual word. And so they were repeating it over and over and over again. Lord, please save. Lord, please save. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Amen. Yet, worship can only be given to God. They're worshiping Jesus. And don't they know the commandment in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14? It's the first one, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." You shall have no other gods before me. You shall worship me and me alone. They've got to know those commandments. They're Hebrew people. And yet, there they are asking Jesus and ascribing to Jesus salvation and kingship. He's the King that reigns over all. And look at this in Zechariah. Zechariah prophesies that Israel's one true king will come riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9 shows us that Jesus is God. Because only God can fulfill this prophecy. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass." This is Jesus riding into Jerusalem, that triumphal entry. And here it is, this exact attribution from Zechariah tells us who He is. He is just and He has salvation. And so their proper response to Him was Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, please save. Amen. And we ought to cry out to the Lord just like that and say, Lord, please save. Please, God, save us, God, to the uttermost. Save us, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come and save. Hallelujah. And we worship Him and we praise Him and we love Him and we honor Him because we know that Jesus is the only one that can save us. Hallelujah. He is God that has become our salvation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus receives the worship that is due to God and God alone. And like I said before, He didn't send out His disciples saying, stop them, stop them. They're committing blasphemy. No, they were not committing blasphemy. They were worshiping and recognizing who He is. Because only He could fulfill all of the law and the prophets. And He was fulfilling in everything that He did. He was fulfilling the law and the prophets. Amen. Later in Mark 11, verse 14, if that wasn't enough, that they're worshiping Him and ascribing salvation to Him, revealing that He is God, look what He does in Mark chapter 11, verse 14. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto it, this is to the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. Now, that is some pronunciation. That is some curse to put on a tree. And it says that they came back later and the tree was withered. And the tree's leaves had fallen off. And that tree had died. You telling me that Jesus is just a man? No way. No way. He can speak to nature and command nature and give life or death. That's our God. And this is actually itself prophesied. Of course it is. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 13. And look who it describes causing a fig tree to wither. It's all caps in the King James Version. I don't know why it's not all caps up there. We've got to look into that. But if you look in the King James Version, it says, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Says the Lord, Yahweh, our great God Jehovah, has the power, He and He alone has the power to command a fig tree to wither and die and give no fruit and for it to happen. That's amazing. That's incredible. And so Jesus speaks with His own authority because He is God and God alone. He's the King. He's the one that holds that scepter of righteousness. And He rules. He is sovereign over all. Oh, He's in control of it all. In each one of these chapters, I've been pointing out a question that makes this revelation real to me. How does the kingship of Jesus change your worship? How does it transform your worship? Because if Jesus is just a buddy, and you're just asking Him for a favor, well, if Jesus is just another voice in your life, and you sort of comb through the library of voices in your life, and sometimes you listen to Jesus and sometimes you don't. Well, how does knowing that Jesus is the Lord and King over all, how does it change your life? How does it change your worship? Well, Jesus, if Jesus is the only one that can receive worship and Jesus is the only one that's in control and sits on the throne, then worship is not just a habit or a ritual. No, no. It's surrender. It's recognition. It's submission to who He is. Amen. It's, I come and worship and I bow down, as Psalm 95 verse 6 says, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Amen. Worship is not just some frivolous thing that I do once or twice a week. No, worship is the way I live. I live in the domain of a king. He's sovereign over my life. He's the only one that sits on the throne in my heart. He's the only one that can sit there. Whenever I try to take and wrestle the throne away from Him, my life is miserable and I fail. Whenever I try to take that crown from Him, my life is miserable and I fail. But Jesus being in the rightful place in my heart, Jesus being on the throne in my heart, amen, everything I do is to surrender to Him. Everything I do is to give Him worship. Everything I do is to give Him praise. And He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Worship becomes more than singing. It becomes more than just clapping my hands or standing or doing anything. No, it's surrender. It's trust. It's allegiance to the King who reigns over my whole life. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6:13. Amen. Paul places Jesus in the only place that He can be. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, or before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. You know, that's such an interesting scenario to go to here. Because Pontius Pilate was the one who thought that he had charge over Jesus' life. He thought he had authority over Jesus. Oh, I would have liked to have been there. Amen. To see the God who created all things standing before a pitiful ruler of a region. You rule over this little region of Judea because I let you. Yeah. Don't you know I'm the one that exalts people into leadership and puts down the people that are in leadership? I'm the one that has control over all of this. Not only am I king of this region, but I'm king of the universe. Amen. What a God. Hallelujah. And look, it says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed. Now, this word describes Him as not only single, but as that all blessing flows through Him and through Him alone. The blessed. The blessed. Say, oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed because of the blessed. The blessed and only potentate means all powers in His hand. The King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I just love the move that Paul just did. He compared Jesus to that Pontius Pilate, and he said he witnessed a good confession. Yes. And then he gives credit where credit is due, and worship where worship is due. Amen. Jesus alone is the only blessed. The blessed. Only potentate. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. And we can worship Him and know Him for who He is. He's in control. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Mark chapter 12. Amen. Mark chapter 12, we're going to jump to verse 29. And a scribe asked Jesus about the greatest commandment. And my children actually can quote this. Mark 12, 29. You remember that one? Yes, you do. Amen. It says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now do you remember it? Yeah, that's part of their Bible quizzing verses. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now this scribe asked him, which is the greatest commandment? And he said, this is the first one. Now he's not saying this is commandment number one of the Ten Commandments. No, he's saying this is the premier commandment. This is the greatest commandment of all. And Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Say that with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So Jesus is affirming the oneness of God, that there is one God, absolutely one. Indivisibly one. You cannot divide God into parts. No. But then, this is so interesting, because after he affirms this verse, in verse number 35 through 37, he's going to get to the heart of his identity. And he says, in verse 35, it says, and Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself called him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Well, it's saying that the scribes didn't hear him so gladly. He's saying, how is it that the scribes and the Pharisees are teaching that Christ is the son only? The son only of David. No. He's not just the son only of David, but he's also the God of David. Christ is both the Son of David according to the flesh, but he is the God of David according to the eternal Spirit. And he's quoting here from Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus is revealing that the Messiah, the Christ, is both David's God and David's descendant. That doesn't make the Christ or God two. No. It says that David's God, the origin of David and all the line of all of man, all the way back to Adam, is God Almighty, the creator of the world. But he is both God and he is both Christ. Amen. And he can be Christ and Lord at the same time. Because God was manifest in the flesh. God was in Christ. God revealed himself in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's not saying that there's two gods. No. God is indivisible. Remember Mark 12, 29. The greatest commandment is that God is absolutely one. And Jesus is not trying to confuse them, because look at this. The common people heard him gladly. Amen. It was just those you know, stuffy scribes and Pharisees that thought they had it all figured out, that thought they knew God, that thought they knew that Jesus was supposed to be a certain thing or a certain way. No, no, no. They didn't have faith. All they had was doubt. But you and I can have faith and know who Jesus is. He is both Lord and Christ. He is both the root and the offspring of David. Amen. Revelation 22:16 says, I, Jesus, if this isn't enough for you, I don't know. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am. We'll stop right there. He's the I am that I am. That's who Jesus is. I am the root. That means He's the creator of the universe and all things that are in it. Amen. Including you and me. Amen. But He's the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. That's my God. That's my Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the I am, the root and the offspring. Yes, He's the root according to the eternal Spirit. He's the offspring according to the flesh. Amen. He's the mighty God in Christ. And this is the revelation that used to be a mystery. Amen. It's the identity of the Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation. Amen. He said not only is He the Lamb, but He's the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. And He said He's the door. He's the sheepfold. Amen. He's everything. Amen. Hallelujah. And I love this. I just kind of threw this in here today because I love this picture of uncertainty, really, in Revelation 5. There's a moment that makes you hold your breath in Revelation chapter 5. Because there's this search that happens. Revelation 5:1 says, and I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book. Now we know that Jesus is the one from Revelation 4. We know that there's one throne in heaven and one sitting on that throne, and Jesus Christ is the one. Amen. That whole picture of worship in Revelation chapter 4, where everybody's exalting God, everybody knows who He is, the elders and the beasts and all of that stuff. Amen. Just a great, great picture of worship, what worship will look like in heaven. And the one that's sitting on the throne, He has in His right hand a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. That means that everybody that was around that throne just kind of bowed their heads. Nobody could answer the question. I just picture that moment of silence. You could hear a pin drop. And there was seemingly the hope got sucked out of the room. You ever been in a worship service that just all of a sudden shifted and something happened? And I've been in those services where something like an accident happens or something like that, and it's like throwing a wet blanket on everything. It's like, what happened? The Spirit of God was moving so strongly in this place, and we're in heaven, and we're worshiping around the throne. And then all of a sudden, it was like a gut punch. The wind got knocked out of everybody. And John says in verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And I could just picture one of the elders. One of the elders knew. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. John, the book's already been opened. The seals have already been loosed because the Lamb, who is the Root and the Offspring of David, has prevailed to open the book. He prevailed because He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He prevailed because He was more than just the man. He's God in the flesh. Amen. And how, again, a question. How does the fact that there's only one God and His name is Jesus, how does it affect my life? How does it affect my worship? Well, Jesus affirms Deuteronomy 6:4, and then He applies it to Himself. He tells them who He is, His identity. I am the Root and the Offspring of David. I am David's God and His descendant. And so He tells them Himself. Well, if you know that Jesus is God, well, your relationship becomes very simple. It's simplified. It's undivided. Your eye is single. You just have to look to one. One Jesus. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Amen. It's my heart and my mind and my soul and my strength are united towards one. And I know who that one is. It's Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. And so I can fulfill the commandment of Deuteronomy 6:4. Because verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. I can love God without confusion. I can worship God without confusion. I can praise God without confusion. I can pray without any confusion. I don't have to think, oh, do I pray to the Spirit? Do I pray to the Father, the Son? No, no, no. He's not three, He's one. Jesus is the one I love. Jesus is the one I worship. He's the one I praise. He's the one I pray to. Amen. He is my Lord and my God. And the more clearly that I see that there's one God, the more holy I can love Him and worship Him. And James chapter 4 verse 8 says that I can draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to me. It says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Submit yourself unto the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. So by the end of Mark chapter 12, we've been shown clearly and unmistakably that there is no mystery of who God is. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament in the flesh, and He's the only God that we will ever see. Praise the Lord. The mystery has been revealed by the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. The King has been recognized. He's been enthroned in the heavens. Amen. He's both Lord and Christ. Amen. And He is the worthy Lamb who opened the book, loosed the seals, and gave us salvation. Hallelujah. So we can worship Him. It's not a theory. It's not something that we're not sure about. It's not something that God's going to reveal to you differently at a later date. Jesus rides into Jerusalem as king. And he receives the worship that only belongs to God. And he judges with divine authority. He affirms the oneness of God, and then he identifies himself as the only one. And what was once hidden has now been made plain. Jesus is the God who revealed himself by stepping into creation. And Jesus is the God, yes, who spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Jesus is the Lord God who is manifest in the flesh. And God is now revealed clearly before the eyes of all to see. Amen. Paul calls this the riches of the glory of the mystery. Not because God was unclear, but because we actually have this treasure in earthen vessels. Yeah, we're still learning. We're still growing. Amen. There are parts of our lives that we don't understand about God. But that's not because the revelation is not available. It's because we need to align ourselves to God. Amen. You know, I didn't know if I was going to put this in here, but you know the reason, one of the reasons, I feel this very strongly, that one of the reasons that Adam and Eve sinned is because they didn't really know God the way they should. I mean, picture this. God is God. He never changes. And I get that the way that the Bible is written, it makes you think in Genesis chapter 3 that God only came down in the cool of the evening to speak to them. Well, yes, that's when they communed with God. But I want to remind you that God is everywhere. God is in all places. So you need to look past the story and realize that when Eve took that fruit off the tree and took the bite, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that Adam, he wasn't tricked. Adam knew that he was sinning. So that gives me this picture that there's this snake talking to my wife, and I'm standing right there and I'm just letting it happen. He just let it happen. Adam was not somewhere off naming animals. He was standing right there. And he wasn't deceived. And so the greater judgment fell on Adam. The greater promise fell on Eve. Which is amazing. But the fact that they thought God was not there, watching the whole encounter, is just crazy to me. God was not somewhere else when the serpent was talking to Eve. And Adam took that first bite. God was right there with them. Was he visible? No. He's a spirit. He wasn't visible to them. But he was there. And the fact that he didn't intervene should show you something about how much he honors your free will to worship him. He cares that you make the choice to serve and to worship him. But it also shows you something very powerful. And that is that Adam and Eve didn't really know God the way that they should. They thought he wasn't there. Well, how crazy is that? We know that God is everywhere. We know it. Why didn't they know it? And because they didn't know what they should have known about God, they fell away from him. They were cast out of the garden. That's why this series is so powerful. It's because in each and every time that we do this series, it's showing you more of who Jesus is and showing you exactly what Jesus can do in your life. And so that when temptation comes, or when the wrong decision, or I just want to stay home, or I don't know if prayer's for me, or I don't know. No. We know Him. We know that He wants what is best for us. We know that He loves us. Amen. We know that everything He does, amen, is for us. Hallelujah. It's for our benefit. Amen. We know who He is. Amen. Jesus wasn't just a temporary messenger. He wasn't delegated authority. He wasn't just David's son. David called Him Lord. Israel worshipped Him as king. And Scripture reveals Him as the one true living God. And this mystery is no longer hidden. The veil's no longer closed. The King has now been revealed. And revelation demands a response. Revelation demands a response. Why don't you stand with me tonight? And let's respond. Amen. Not with some distant admiration. Oh yeah, those are such great things that Jesus did so long ago. No. Let Him get close to you. Amen. Surrender in worship to Him. Amen. Surrender to Him as Lord. Amen. As King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's the blessed. He's the only potentate. Amen. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's the Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that I know You. My allegiance is to You, Lord God, and to You alone. My worship is to You and to You alone, God. Lord, it's You and You alone that I will worship and serve, God. My whole life, Lord Jesus, my family, Lord God, I place them into Your hands, God. Lord, I surrender to You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, You reign, You reign, You reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, 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 God. Thank You, Lord, that I know who You are, Lord Jesus. That You're ever present in my life, Lord God. That, Lord, You're in my life, You're in my heart, God, and You're the hope, Lord Jesus, of glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. God, You are so good, Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for revealing to me, Lord God. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I'm probably not going to teach. Well, not probably. I'm not going to teach for another month. So you have at least 1 month to digest all of this. And you can go back and listen to it again. Amen. But we have 4 chapters left in the book of Mark. And we'll break it up again. Two chapters each time. And it's weird to say this, but we haven't even gotten to the good part yet. He hasn't even died on the cross yet. He hasn't even been buried in a tomb, resurrected. He hasn't even imparted the power of the gospel to His disciples yet. Man, just great, great, great things. Amen. He's the Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. He's the only one. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Let's clap our hands to Him one more time before we're dismissed. Praise God. Awesome. Amen. So, Bible quizzing, like a tournament type, not tournament.